Welcome to the Rooney Report. Today we have with us Deborah Brown with Pro-Life Action Ministries. Deborah, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Deborah, you're the Education Director for Pro-Life Action Ministries, and my first question for you is, you've been involved in the pro-life movement for many years, and what is it that got you initially involved, and what keeps you going?
When I was a teenager, there was a pro-life meeting at my church in rural South Dakota for the first time, and my mother decided she wanted to get involved, and so I went along with her. And at that meeting, Dr. Wilkie's slides, his very famous slideshow, was shown. And when I saw the pictures of the aborted babies, I was just aghast. How can we do this to other human beings? And so that's what propelled me into the pro-life movement. And when I was in high school, I brought in a pro-life speaker. When I was in college, I was involved. And then my first job after college was working for National Right to Life out in Washington, D.C. And during that time, I also worked at a pregnancy help center and started sidewalk counseling. We were pioneers then sidewalk counseling, I think, was done by one other, by Pro-Life Action Ministries here in St. Paul, and then also a group down in Kentucky called Catholics United for Life. And that was in the early 1980s. And so when I started sidewalk counseling, we just basically just went out to the abortion clinics and tried to talk women out of abortion and offer them help.
Wow. And now you're actually helping train others for that ministry.
Right. Once we had sort of pioneered how to do sidewalk counseling, we felt like, why should the other people that are coming into the movement make the same mistakes that we made?
Sure.
Because we're talking life or death here. We don't want to make mistakes. And so very early on, I lived in Washington, D.C. for 3 years, and then I moved here to St. Paul and started working for Pro-Life Action Ministries and in 1986.
And now you're a resource for people around the country, right?
Right. People contact us, and we publish a newsletter called Sidewalk Counseling News, and people across the country, and in fact, in some other countries in the world, also receive that. And then we also have, starting in 2011, we started a national symposium to teach sidewalk counseling. So people come from across the country for that.
And that's every summer, right?
Most every summer.
Most summers, yeah, good. So for the rest of this program, we're going to show some testimony that you give during your sidewalk counseling training. But before we finish the program with that, are there any resources that you recommend, either books or, of course, going to your website for someone who's interested?
In sidewalk counseling? Yes, I would say if they come to our website, plam.org, and we have a whole section on sidewalk counseling. We also have a DVD, a training that I did several years ago. We have a packet of materials that we can send them. If they're not able to attend one of our seminars. And then, of course, if they want to come to the symposium, that would be great. The symposium once a year, but we try to have it in different cities.
Sure.
And then the seminar that we do is about twice a year. I started praying outside abortion clinics about 35 years ago while I was in college in Moorhead, Minnesota. They had opened up an abortion mill in Fargo across the river. Sidewalk counseling works. We know because we have documented right now, as of today, 3,307 babies saved since our ministry began in 1981. We have three offices, the one in St. Paul, we have an office down in Central Florida, and then we have an office up in Duluth. And many babies are being saved actually across the world through sidewalk counseling. So in addition to being obedient to God, to go out to pray where the babies are being killed, it is effective in saving lives. All of the pro-life activities that are meant to stop abortion are good. The pregnancy help centers, the legislative work, the political action work. What sidewalk counseling is an attempt to save as many lives as we can now. All the lives that are threatened now, while we're working together as an entire pro-life movement to stop abortion completely. In some ways, sidewalk counseling can be as simple as handing someone a brochure or just being out there with a sign. Babies have been saved that way. But the more I'm doing sidewalk counseling, the more I learn. And so I want to share with you some of the things I've learned over the last 35 years. Like I said, it can be as simple as handing someone a brochure. It can be very in-depth as well, and that's why we have 2 days, actually a 3-day sidewalk counseling and direct action symposium coming up. We have it nationally almost every year. We've taken it to other cities, but this year we'll be back in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area at the beginning of August, August 2nd through the 4th. And so we welcome you to attend that symposium. You'll be receiving more information about direct action outside the abortion clinics, as well as being able to meet and fellowship and pray with sidewalk counselors and direct action pro-lifers from around the country. So it's definitely something to put on your calendar. Because there's so much involved, can be involved in sidewalk counseling, what I'm going to share with you this evening is just a broad overview of sidewalk counseling. The two pillars of sidewalk counseling, though, you probably already know, and that is that abortion is always wrong. All people are created in the image and likeness of God. And so when we go out to the abortion clinics, we're upholding that very profound teaching of the Christian faith, that all these children are valuable. You will run into some very difficult, difficult situations when you actually end up talking with a woman. But you have to know in your heart before you go out that abortion is never justified, that it's always wrong. The other pillar, though, is there's hope for a woman who chooses life. And we're there to tell the women about all the help that's available. It might be just around the corner at the Pregnancy Help Center, or it might be some of the other agencies that help pregnant women, Pro-Life Action Ministries. We have a financial aid fund. So when you're telling the women that the pro-life movement is here to help her and whatever needs whatever needs she has, that's telling her the truth, reaching out in love to her. So these two pillars relate to the scriptural principle of speaking the truth in love. The truth, abortion is always wrong. Love, there is help for a woman who chooses life. Love involves sacrifice. Sacrifice for another is love. And so when you go out and you're braving the elements, whether it's the cold temperatures, the snow, the wind, the rain, the summer's heat, you're sacrificing that out of love for that woman and her child. I think if there had been abortion clinics in Galilee when Jesus was walking the earth, he would have spent time at the abortion clinics. He was out in the midst of people. And so we're called to be his ambassadors. So we are ambassadors for Christ, it says in 2 Corinthians, as if God were appealing through us. And so we're there on the sidewalks being the hands and feet of Christ. This is Antoinette. Antoinette was saved from abortion at the Robbinsdale Clinic on a very cold winter day. She was our first baby saved a few years ago, the first baby of the year. And the sidewalk counselor was all bundled up, and Antoinette's mother had knew it was a woman, but she said it sounded like a man's voice. And she, the sidewalk counselor, the mother's later on said it sounded like the voice of Jesus. And that's very interesting because the sidewalk counselor had prayed, "Lord, help anyone coming in here to see you instead of me." And so Antoinette's mother took the literature from the sidewalk counselor and the fetal model that I'll show you in a bit, and she had that gave her the strength to resist her boyfriend's pressure to abort. Antoinette and her mother ended up living with this sidewalk counselor for a while, and we're not asking you to open your homes, but it shows the depths of the relationship that can develop when you actually are talking with a woman. And in some cases, the woman may never have experienced such love. The men in her life, maybe she grew up in a terrible home, but to meet someone like you who just cares about her and cares about helping her and her child, unconditional love like that can mean a lot to these moms. And the law requires that a baby born alive after an abortion has to be cared for and treated like any other premature child. But we need to get a pro-life governor to be able to investigate the crimes that Planned Parenthood is committing. I mean, Planned Parenthood commits crimes just by killing the babies, moral crimes, but even crimes against our state laws. Before actually getting into how to sidewalk counsel, I just wanted to mention a little bit about your attitude on the sidewalk. We have, of course, a very strong policy of nonviolence. If someone strikes you or spits at you, which doesn't happen very often, rather than responding in kind, you just walk away and call the police. But more so than that, we want you to try and be as calm as you can out there. Most of the time, you're not gonna, most of the time, I like what our director up in Duluth says in his writings about sidewalk counseling. He basically says most of the time it's boring. And, he sidewalk counsels up in Duluth where they don't have quite as many people coming in and out as the Planned Parenthood here. But at Whole Woman's, the appointments are more spread out, and so it can be boring. And so you use that time to pray. And the praying will also then help you stay calm and in control so that if anything bad does happen, you're prepared. Or if somebody yells at you, you're not immediately wanting to yell back because you're the calm one in the situation. Abortion is basically, when we're out there, it's a very strong spiritual battle going on there. There's good versus evil, truth versus falsehood, and life versus death. So try to keep that in mind. Since sidewalk counseling is a one-on-one conversation with the woman, that's what your goal is. Pro-Life Action Ministries does do protests and pickets, but when we go out sidewalk counseling, we're not protesting abortion per se. We're just out there to have these conversations with the women. And so you don't want to necessarily wear a pro-life t-shirt or a pro-life hat because the abortion clinics tell the women, don't stop and talk to those protesters. Don't take literature from those protesters. And so you don't want to look like a protester. You just want to look like a normal person who's offering help and offering literature and just wants to talk with her. Plus, I think especially at places like Whole Woman's where there's other clinics inside that building, I think the woman feels more comfortable just talking to somebody out on the sidewalk that looks just like a regular person, not like a pro-lifer, because then it targets her as an abortion client. One of my favorite sidewalk counseling tips of all time comes from Paul Robertson of Cincinnati, Ohio. He says, "Dress in a non-threatening manner and look as if you are in a position to help someone in need, not as if you could use a little help yourself." And so I love that because we want to look like a normal person that's there to help her. The fetal models, there's some on the back table there. The models that we use are models of a baby at 12 weeks, and it comes with a card that describes fetal development, and it's in white and black, although all unborn babies are pink. But basically, this shows the woman that, you know, you're concerned about her, that you even have a model that looks more like her baby than the white one. So those are available. At every abortion clinic, there's what I call the public point of contact. And that's where the woman is entering. So, for example, the first picture there is at the Whole Woman's clinic. And there you have access to the women on the sidewalk. And down in Florida, at our Central Florida office, again, there's the point of contact, the woman. You're right there on the sidewalk talking with the women. This is at Whole Woman's also. There are two parking ramps at Whole Woman's, and so I literally stand there between the entrance and the exit of the parking ramp and then reach out to the people in the cars as they're driving in. And again, here's at Planned Parenthood in St. Paul, where most of the people come by car, so we're at the driveway. They designed this abortion fortress to prevent us from sidewalk counseling as much as possible. So we do the best we can. And the main thing we do is we have to reach the cars as they're going in and out. And I say out as well, because very often a boyfriend is going over to McDonald's to get lunch, but the baby is still alive. Or the woman is leaving to go downtown to juvenile court so she doesn't have to tell her parents that she's pregnant. or there's many people, many reasons people come and go. It's very important to try and get the literature into the hands of the women. Even if you end up talking to them, that's the first thing you want to do, is offer them the information, because a lot of them will not stop and talk to you, but they will take the information, and that information is your lifeline to them. If you have a chance, you might want to tell the woman, don't let them take this information away from you. It's yours to read. It's very important to read this while you're waiting. Or if they take it in their car, it's very important to read this while you're in your car. That information has saved a lot of lives, and so it's very, very important. That's the first thing you want to do, is offer them the literature and get that literature in their hands. You can ask them a direct question. Are you here for an abortion? Are you going to Whole Woman's Clinic? Sometimes they'll be honest with you and they'll tell you the truth. And so it's good to know that that's what they're there for, if you're able to establish that. But be prepared that they might lie to you. So then you also have to be ready to talk to them in the third person. If they say, no, I have a friend in here. Okay, well, here, give this information to your friend. Do you know what abortion does to the baby? Do you know that there's a pregnancy help center? Please share all this information with your friend. So often we have found that women lie to us, but if you can just get the same information to them, but you have to speak in third person, that's fine. Occasionally, if I've been talking to a woman for a long time and I really believe that she's not telling me the truth, I can just say to her, you know, sometimes women don't want to tell us the truth when they're here for an abortion. If you're really here for that, we want to help you. It's your tone of voice, how you say it. If you say it in a non-accusing manner, she might open up to you. And then I always feel better when we're being honest with each other, but not all is lost. If they also might be honest with you about the fact that they're there for an abortion, but they might lie to you about the reason. They might say they were raped. They might say that they have a medical problem. They think that because most of society allows abortion in those hard cases, or is ready to, you know, make an exception in those hard cases, they're thinking that you will too, but you don't. And so in those cases, we have people involved in our ministry who have been pregnant because and wanting an abortion because of those reasons, but who changed their minds. And they're more than happy to talk with the women. So use us as a resource. Always feel free to call us if you need to, you know, from the sidewalk. If I'm not out sidewalk counseling, I'm in the office most of the day. And so just feel free to give me a call and I can kind of walk you through some of those things. But the main thing is to tell the woman that she doesn't have to have an abortion, that there's ways to solve her problems without killing the baby. I'm always giving out literature outside of Whole Woman's to passersby. And I just say, you know, could I give you this information? Maybe you can read it and pass it along. We're just here. And often I add, if it looks like it could possibly be an abortion couple or they're that young age, I often add, if you know somebody who's pregnant, we're here to help you, or we're here to help her not have an abortion. And babies have been saved that way because people pass it on. And sometimes when I offer literature to somebody, they'll say, oh yeah, I took this last year and I gave it to my friend who was considering an abortion, but she changed her mind and she has her baby now. So get that information out there. A few cents that brochure cost us is well worth, it's not even comparable to a baby's life. So feel free to pass out to passersby. Sometimes you have to let the Holy Spirit guide you. Sometimes I offer the literature to somebody who I'm quite sure is there for an abortion, but they may have reluctantly taken the literature and they might just like be on the edge. And so I don't say too much more except we're here to help pregnant women. Because what I have found sometimes is that if I say too much at that point, they get irritated or they realize how strongly I'm against the abortion they're going in for and they throw the literature back at me. Then I have nothing. I mean, all I have is, you know, my words to them. But it's much better that they walk in with the literature, because I have seen them standing at the elevator opening up the literature, or as they drive in, the man hands it to the passenger, the woman, and she starts opening up the literature as they're driving in. So I guess, you know, you want to defend the baby, but you also want to be smart and not irritate the woman initially. But you always want to get that literature in her hands. What you say beyond that point, you really have to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide you. But even if a woman throws the literature back at you or doesn't take the literature at all, there's still things that you can say. And so if whether or not you get a chance to talk in depth about these three items or you just have to say them quickly as the woman is walking in, basically the three messages you need to get across are that there's help available to her, and then how abortion will hurt the woman and others, emotionally, spiritually, and perhaps physically. So that there's help available, that the woman may be harmed by the abortion, and then you also want to bring up the humanity and value of the baby and what abortion will do to the child. And so you can open up the brochure and show her the fetal development pictures, show her the abortion picture. Don't lose hope if the woman goes in. What we have found is that most of the women who change their minds have actually gone into the abortion clinic. They're concerned about keeping their appointment. Sometimes they sit in there and they think about it, or they call somebody, they call their mother. We've had that happen. Or they read the literature. And so they come out maybe 20 minutes, an hour, 2 hours later saying that they've changed their minds. The abortion itself, in a typical abortion, takes maybe 10 minutes, an early surgical abortion. Most of the time, they're just waiting around in there. They have their so-called counseling and maybe their ultrasound, their lab work, and then they finally have the abortion, and that takes about 10 minutes, and they rest up maybe 20, 30 minutes afterwards. So the abortion appointment itself is a 4 to 5 hour process, but most of the time of that 4 to 5 hours, their baby is still alive. So if they come out to smoke, if they come out, like I said, the boyfriend goes to McDonald's for lunch, you still have the opportunity to save that baby's life. I'm going to give you a little bit of information about the abortion pill and late-term abortions. But in your packet, you have these brochures, and then you also, there's a whole sheet on reversing the abortion pill. The abortion pill is becoming more popular, about 40% and increasing at Planned Parenthood. The women going in are going in for the abortion pill. What happens is they go in the first day, they take the abortion pill while they're at the abortion clinic, but again, it's towards the end of their appointment, so you still have time to talk to them about not taking that abortion pill if they come out to smoke. The abortion pill, women have died from it. It can cause hemorrhaging. But what happens is the first pill is meant to kill the baby by reducing the thinning the lining of the uterus and stopping the progesterone production. However, I'll go through the process first and then I'll explain. Okay, so the first pill is meant to kill the baby by basically starving the child of nutrients and oxygen by destroying the lining of the uterus where the baby has implanted. The second pill, which the woman is told to take at home 24 to 48 hours later, causes contractions to expel the now dead baby. So if the baby doesn't die from the first pill, there's a chance to save the baby. And there's a whole organization called Abortion Pill Reversal that has saved hundreds of babies because women call having taken the first pill and changing their mind. And so they have a network of doctors all over the country that will give the woman either progesterone by pill or by shot to build the progesterone back up, to build up the uterine lining to try and save the baby. And it's the second pill that may cause birth defects. The first pill does not. The woman may be concerned about that, but it does not cause any harm to the baby if the baby's not killed. I mean, if the baby survives, the baby should be just fine. So when a woman is leaving, that's why we have the abortionpillreversal.com number on all of our basic information, even the post-abortion brochure, because A woman leaving may say that it's too late. She's already had the abortion because in her mind, she's already killed the baby by taking the first pill. But if a woman says, well, I just took the pill, or you can even ask her if she says she's had an abortion, did you have the pill or a surgical abortion? If she's had the pill, let her know about abortion pill reversal. And again, it's Cameron survived, and a little story in her photo is in the basic brochure that we give to everybody. But if you have these other two brochures on you, it's good to give her those brochures as well. The late-term abortions, as I mentioned to you, the digoxin that they give to the woman to cause a heart attack in the baby doesn't always work. And they don't always give the digoxin, but it is a two-day procedure as well. So typically what they do is give the woman either a shot to start causing contractions, or they insert seaweed into her cervix, and which starts to open the cervix and may cause contractions. That's called laminaria. And in the case I told you about, she had both done, the shot and the laminaria, but the laminaria didn't open her cervix. And so she was really lucky that her baby survived. But in any case, if a woman says that she's already started a late-term abortion, tell her that it may not be too late. We might be able to save the baby. Quite often, not always, because this woman that went to Planned Parenthood for the 22-week abortion, she was healthy, her baby was healthy. But sometimes a late abortion is done because the baby is disabled. So if, and especially if you see a North Dakota or a South Dakota vehicle, they have one abortion clinic each in those states, but they don't do late abortions. So if you see somebody coming from one of those states, driving all that distance, it could very well be because the baby is disabled. I've seen that quite a few times. They have been told by their doctors in that situation, well, it's not really an abortion. We're just inducing labor early because your baby's not going to survive anyway. So why don't we just, you know, induce the labor and then you can get pregnant again with a healthy baby. You know, let's just kill this one early. But they don't tell them it's an abortion. In fact, I had a guy tell me, you know, they were there for an abortion at Mildred Hansen's, and he says, no, it's not an abortion. And I'm like, yes, it is. No, they told us it's not an abortion. Our doctor sent her here, but it's not an abortion. But anyway, the lies that are out there are incredible. So you need to, but they know in their heart. Years later, they're going to know that they killed their baby, that they didn't give their baby a chance. And so we're the ones that have to be honest with them, even if their doctors and their families aren't. So you also need to be very persistent and firm, especially if the women are in and out. Reno was saved from an abortion. His mother went in, didn't really have the time to talk to us, but she kept coming out to smoke. And I kept talking to her every time she came out to smoke. And I could tell she was softening every time she came out. And so finally, I knew it was only about 15 minutes until her baby would be killed, but finally she decided to leave. And so she had Reno, and of course she was very happy that we were persistent with her. And so in her situation, one of her needs was a vehicle. And in the end, she didn't need us to buy her a vehicle, but we have bought used vehicles for people. And so we are there to help.
We provide the legal defense to the people who really are the last line of defense to these women and these babies. That's why Life Legal does what they do, because someone like Father James Linton isn't going to be able to hire a huge firm and pay thousands of dollars to litigate a criminal case, but Life Legal is able to do that because of the support of our donors and that people find what we do to be important.